right now, it's time for Talking Books with Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. And I am turning on three microphones today because we've got Susan here in the studio and two special guests. Susan, first of all, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing good. So before we even start talking about today's topic, which is going to be the Great American Read, you went to a GOAT briefing earlier today?
I was a little bit later than usual because
yes.
I was at the 4 o'clock GOAT briefing at the library.
Right. So, ordinarily, you skip the 4 o'clock GOAT briefing to come here, but yeah.
But because tomorrow we're having goats at the library.
Nice.
There was a 4 o'clock GOAT briefing.
Inside the library or around
How
the library?
How I wish. So here's what's happening tomorrow at the library. So this is part of our Explore More at Pritchard Park project that is going on. So we had this need. We are clearing, so most of the 34 acres of Pritchard Park will remain untouched,
mm-hmm.
but we are programming some areas to sort of entice folks and sort of let them know that there's this great vast expanse of woods right in the middle of town. So we had this need to clear some brush.
Okay.
So we had the controlled burn, which cleared the slope.
Yes.
We actually had also a remote controlled bush hog come and work on that too. That was pretty cool. That was a high tech way of doing
awesome.
It. And now we're taking this low tech approach. So we need some really heavily wooded areas cleared. And one of the best ways to clear that is to bring
goats to eat it.
They will eat it. So goats will be grazing all day tomorrow. And in fact, I'm going to rifle through my purse. I think I left my notes from the GOAT briefing, but here is the important information.
What class, when you were in college majoring in library science, did you have to take to train you for this today?
Right? So here's what's happening. So there's a small business in the area called the Goat Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And they specialize in, like, I forget what they call it, like natural grazing.
Yes.
So they'll come to your house and they'll bring goats to graze your grass and all of that. So at, I believe, 9 o'clock tomorrow, outside on the plaza, there's a special goat story time. Miss Martha is going to do a special goat story time.
Awesome.
The circulator is also going to be up there. I will explain why on that in just a bit. So then at about 9:30, I believe the goats arrive and they will be released. So there will be a goat release and welcoming party at around 9:30, I believe. And then the goats go into a pen and then the pen moves all day long. So they move from place to place. It's like 40 goats are coming.
That's awesome.
So all day long. And then there will be like goat handlers. So if people want to pet the goats or interact with the goats, people can do that. But the goats are going to be there all day long. And we're putting the circulator up there so we can set up, wait for it, a goat cam. So we have a goat cam going on the goats.
Nice.
All day long. So story time. So we are encouraging people to carpool. I was in a meeting earlier today, and my colleague lives in Southern Village, and she's like, everyone's coming tomorrow
there,
to see the goats.
Of course.
So the goats are there all day. The story time is early. The goats are there all day. They will be grazing throughout the property. There will be goat handlers. We are so happy to be working with the goat squad, and there will be a goat cam.
I think that's all
the points from the goat briefing.
That this goat cam is going to show, it's just going to be like a fixed shot, or is it going to rotate around? Because if it's just a fixed shot, all I can imagine seeing is like nothing, 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 and all of a sudden like four people like running from right to left as fast as possible, and then 2 seconds pass, and then 40 goats chasing them.
So I believe they're also going to bring two pygmy goats.
Okay.
And maybe a herding dog to help herd the goats. It's going to be
I love this.
A spectacular spectacle of goats
so
at the library
tomorrow.
So this starts
tomorrow at 9.
If you want to hit the story time
Miss Martha.
At 9.
That is hard to say.
And then goat release party at about 9:30, and then they're there all day long.
Awesome. So you can be there all day long, hang out with the goats, and then in the evening, because this is tomorrow as well. All right, and we're back. Joined here in the studio by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. Before we were interrupted by a severe thunderstorm warning, we were talking about goats all day tomorrow.
Goats all day.
Goats all day. And then in the evening, 6:30, the beginning of the first of a 5-part series of panels on the Great American Read, which is going to be awesome, too.
Yes, yeah. It is. So I'm going to let Max talk about the program tomorrow, but this is all part of a grant. So PBS is doing this series called The Great American Read. It kicked off a couple weeks ago, and then there's not another episode for a while. But it's all about Americans and how they read and what they read and why reading matters. And there's some list of the 100 most important books or most popular books. It's this whole thing. And grants were awarded to 50 libraries in the country, and Chapel Hill Public Library is one of them.
Awesome.
And for any grant, you need a great partner. So we called up Max and Crew at Carolina Public Humanities, and they said, sounds great. So you want to talk about this whole thing,
Joined
Max?
Here by Max Orr of Carolina Public Humanities, who needs no introduction.
I don't know what day it is.
We talked to you on Wednesday, on Monday, yeah.
What day? It must be Monday. No, Aaron and I discussed this project a little bit, and what I'm really excited about is to sort of give you a sense of, we're going to be talking about all sorts of love. I know Aaron and I talked a little bit on Monday about, you know, books that have spoken to us about love and whatnot. But what I'm really excited is, and this is just called passing the buck, because I'm excited to talk about one of the perspectives on love. And we were looking at how can we find different ways of thinking, familial love, you know, love of country, love of course, everyone thinks romantic love. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what about, you know, love when it changes in a very different way? So I'm very excited to welcome one of the panelists who will give you a little sneak preview of the type of conversations we'll have, and that's Jonathan Weiler, and he's the co-author with his ex-wife of Divorce, A Love Story, which is just a fantastic title. So, Jonathan, what is it about romantic love? What that divorce teaches you about that, or about family love? What is your perspective on love, having written this book?
Well, and thanks for having
me here.
Thank you for thanks for being here,
all of you. And I should say the title, which is an awesome title, I can't take any credit for. I was talking to a friend a few years ago as I was writing the book and describing the book to him, and he said, that sounds great, and what about calling it Divorce, A Love Story? And I thought, that's incredibly inspired, and so all credit to him. So when we set out to write this book, I think our first sort of inspiration was that we had divorced when our daughter was 4 years old. And we had a very, more than an amicable, we were very close friends and we got along well, and therefore we co-parented, we thought, relatively well. And we had folks say to us all the time, you guys get along so well for divorced people, you should write a book about it. And we thought, oh, that sounds like a good idea. And we started to write that book when Lily and our daughter was probably 11 or 12. And then as we got into it and she became an adolescent, suddenly we felt much less good about ourselves as parents in general. And so our notion of what the book should be changed from a kind of how-to guide, because really, you know, there's a certain arrogance involved in presuming to tell other people how they should manage their own affairs, into a kind of joint memoir, in which we just try to explore our own evolution, the evolution of our relationship, and how we could love each other and love our daughter deeply, if differently, once we were no longer married.
Did your relationship change with, and Ann Menkins is your co-author,
yes, that's right.
Did
Ann
your relationship change with each other while you were writing the book?
I would say that our relationship, I think what happened to our relationship while we were writing the book is that we had to sort of think more self-consciously about how our relationship had changed. Mm-hmm. So I think we developed maybe a greater degree of self-awareness about some of our patterns of conflict, some of the continuities in our relationship, and some of the ways it had changed over the years since we split up.
So what is the lesson that you take out of the book? Not necessarily like a how-to to get through a divorce, but...
Yeah, I guess I would say two things. I would say one, and this is cliche, but it's true, so I'm going to say it anyway. All relationships evolve, whether people stay married or not. And we all, and they evolve in part because we just change over time. And I think when I think about myself now, I'm 52 years old compared to how I was 15 or 20 years ago in the early stages of mine's and Anne's relationship. I think about my generally greater capacity to be self-reflective, to acknowledge when I'm wrong about something, and to try to sort of fix mistakes in my own way of dealing with other people. And I think Anne and I have both been able to do that with each other in such a way that we hope has been a good model for our daughter, even if it's not an intact marriage.
Has your daughter read the book?
She has not. Okay. She has absolutely no desire to. She turns 21 in September. She's well aware that we've written it, of course, and that she's a star of
the
book.
Yes, yeah.
And perhaps someday she will. And when she does, I'm hopeful that she will not be too intensely embarrassed by what we've written.
What has been the response of readers who have read the book?
The response generally, the book came out in 2015, and the response generally, I would say, has been very good. One of the most gratifying things to me about the response is that not only people who have been married and divorced, but just people in general have found it to be sort of comforting and illuminating as they think about their own relationships and how those relationships have evolved. So it's been a nice experience to hear not just from divorced folks, but from others that they got something out of the book.
So we've got Jonathan Weiler here. He's going to be one of several panelists tomorrow evening, 6:30, Chapel Hill Public Library. The panel is entitled What We Do for Love, and it's going to be the first of five panel discussions at the library. There's going to be another one in July and then August and September, skipping October, last one in November as part of the Great American Read series, which, as Susan mentioned, is happening all across the country. So more on this panel tomorrow and beyond, yeah.
Absolutely. And what I love of what Jonathan brings and Jonathan and Ann bring to this perspective is I think many of the people that are going to be on this panel are going to be the first reflex is to think about romantic love in books. Mm-hmm. And we, with, you know, Susan Friedman coming from the Compass Center about domestic violence services and whatnot, we're going to say love is a very complicated thing. And we're going to try to delve into as much of the various aspects of it as we can over the hour and a half.
Susan?
So that's what I love about this. So props to Tracy Babiaz from the library who wrote the grant, and she and Matt are partners in crime, the dynamic duo leading this thing. And what they did was that, so the PBS show has these five themes, mm-hmm. so they are playing up on that, and then there's a central question for each one. But they designed these panels with a really great mix, I think, that reflect the sort of town gown partnership that we have going on with Carolina Public Humanities and the library, because they have a couple of sort of scholarly academic professors, a mix of authors, and then some community members for each one. So people bring not just different dimensions of the theme, but also different perspectives. So each of these panels was designed for a certain purpose. They've used all of their different networks. So I think it's going to be really great conversation. And then Max, if you've never seen him moderate a large group discussion, he's masterful. So we're also hoping that the...
He'll also be watching a dog herd 40 goats around.
I mean, the goats are still going to be there.
It's kind of like goat herding, actually. it's a little bit like goat herding.
Yes.
So
we're hoping for the audience to bring lots of questions and their perspective. Mm-hmm. So this is the first of five of these coming up, and they're all going to be great.
So what do we want to talk about in terms of recommending books? Are we talking about love stories today, or?
Oh, was I actually supposed to bring a book to recommend?
Yeah, no.
I recommended War and Peace as a love story last time.
That actually happened 2 days ago, yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. I was, of course, going to recommend Divorce a Love Story.
Oh.
What book were you going to recommend,
nice. Well played.
I actually do have a recommendation.
Okay.
I just finished reading a book by an old friend of mine, Peter Coviello. He's an English professor at the University of Illinois Chicago, and he just wrote a book called Long Players, and it's about his the dissolution of his marriage and the end of his role as a stepdad in the lives of the daughters of the women to whom he was married.
Okay.
And how he reforged that bond with those girls / young women after he was no longer married. And he's also a fanatic music guy who writes like a rock critic, so much of the book is about how music helped him through that very troubled period of his life. It's called Long Players, and I just finished it, and it was great.
That's so, really cool.
Yeah. I remember, Aaron, how you were saying about music and love is that unfortunately when you were looking for your wedding, you were looking for love songs. Almost every song is actually about losing
a
love.
A breakup song or like we're barely hanging on, but we're going to try to tough it out. There's a lot of those, yeah.
So we'll have a panel on love songs at some point.
I like
think
that.
So. Yeah,
I like that a lot.
So the Great American Read that kind of that launched all of these events across the country, including this panel series, is what do we say? 100 books that readers
books,
voted
yeah,
on.
Very odd
as
list.
Like
as
the
we,
most
it
popular
is a
books.
Weird list.
Yeah. Do we have favorites off of the list? You mentioned War and Peace.
Yeah,
I talked about Catch 22 last time.
As like the great American read.
Yeah, from the list of the 100.
And I'm not totally sure how the voting's going to work, but there's going to be like a public voting that I guess you narrow it down. Are they going to narrow it to one or 10?
Are we
10?
Doing this tomorrow night?
I don't know.
What?
We're not doing that tomorrow night.
No, no,
part
no,
of the
no,
whole
no,
project.
No, 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 no. As like
y'all, we
part
have no idea what's happening
PBS
tomorrow night.
PBS series, yeah. Sorry. There's like going to be this public voting thing. So I'm
is
just going to
is there
going to
be like we've got a list of 100? Is it finalists? And then we're going to...
And then they're going to narrow
yeah,
it down
on
to...
On the list that I give you, see there's a little hashtag and you can like send a... I think you send a text to vote for that book
oh,
or something.
Along,
there's
okay.
a little code next to each book. And you can get all this information on the public library site right. or on the humanities site, humanities.unc.edu.
This is where we're going to eliminate all of those books that everyone included on their ballot but haven't actually read, like
yeah.
The Pilgrim's Progress
and
Don Quixote. Right? Yeah,
yeah. I'm just going to put it out there, though. If we had to wager now which book is going to come out on top or in the top, it's going to have to be To Kill a Mockingbird. I mean,
it's
that always...
Be up there,
that
yeah.
always... ends up there. So I just saw the list. I was like, Hunger Games, yeah. Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah, I don't know. 50 Shades of Grey will be up
Shades.
To close
like
Twilight, Harry Potter, Hunger Games, right. 50 Shades of Grey. Like, there's some series that have some serious support behind them. But yeah, you're probably right,
right
on To Kill a Mockingbird.
The other thing that I will mention tomorrow night, the only thing better than having goats at your panel discussion or near it is having Flyleaf books. So Flyleaf will be there, I think, for all of these panels. Selling books from the authors and on the topics for that night.
Right.
So thank you to Jamie and the Flyleaf crew. So come for this one tomorrow night. Come for all of them.
Yeah. Come to Flyleaf Books great. Tonight at 5:30 when Elizabeth Englehart will be talking about Southern food.
Gonna
Look
be
at
good.
You.
Yeah.
Nice.
See that? We just throw the plug right in there.
That's right.
You want more information on the panel series, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org/read. Go there and get more information on this panel that's coming up tomorrow evening at 6:30 after a day of goats at the library. And you can get information on the other four panels that are coming up in July, August, September, and November. Susan, Max, Jonathan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks.
Thank you.